Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Why in the world is Pastor Tim in Altoona, Pennsylvania? Many of you already know. I'm on a youth mission trip. We're working with Team Effort. It's kind of like a repair affair. If those of you connected to Harrison County and Corydon, Indiana, repair affair is something that happens every fall, usually I think in September, with just canvases the whole community for those in need. And so here we look for places with our youth nationally. We may be taking our youth internationally at some point in time, probably looking at Colombia, but we're hoping that at some point we can get them to that point. But we do that by getting them connected to national, regional things like this. So just to work with folks right now, we're working with a couple named Gail and Bob, putting in a handicap ramp and taking care of some things that they can't take care of themselves. And we worked at a church earlier. We've worked at cleaning up a park, two city parks, actually. Earlier in the week, weed eating and sprucing up and beautifying the downtown area. So lots of different things we've done. But let me give you just for the heck of it. You may or may not know Altoona, Pennsylvania, but Altoona, Pennsylvania, for those railroad enthusiasts, it's known for their railroad industry, but also something called Horseshoe Curve. It is like literally an iconic national historic landmark. Built, I think, in 1854, this is like this famous three-track railroad curve that helps around in the Allegheny Mountains. And it is like, apparently, I think I've seen a movie out of it. I think Runaway, I think, is the movie. I think. I can't remember again. Maybe Denzel is in there, Denzel Washington. But whatever the case, I think it was a great movie. And I think it was based on a true story about Horseshoe Curve. Anyway, all that to say, that's one of the things that Altoona is known for. Here's another one. Did you know? The first heart-shaped box of chocolates was reportedly invented here in Altoona by James Gardner. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. I sure didn't. So anyway, and then did you know that apparently, I think Altoona is the headquarters of Sheetz Gas Stations, Sheetz, Sheetz Gas Stations. Be careful saying that. So anyway, just a few fun facts if you wanted to know them or not. But it is good. It's good to be out in a different community. We want our youth to know how to serve, period. Serve in their community, of course. Serve that's for sure. Serve where they live, right? That's where we've got to understand serving happens the greatest is where we live. But sometimes it is good to get out and travel and bond together. We've certainly bonded over late night brownies, late night prayer sessions, wiffle ball games, kickball games. but also some really, really deep and good spiritual stuff. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We're actually connecting the dots of a youth mission trip with the book of Acts. So we'll see this here in just a moment. But it's also we're trying to prep our youth to go and get ready for an international trip. Again, possibly Colombia. And so we're hoping and praying that trips like these get our youth ready to really be prepared for that. So we've got, again, 12, I think it is, 12, good number, right, 12, four adult, four volunteers, and including myself, and eight youth. And so we are, it's good. It's been a great week. We're in the middle of it. We'll be back this weekend. I am taping on Thursday morning. They are already at the work site. And so I'm going to wrap this up here again in 25 minutes and then head on and meet them at the work site. They just left. So I'll be just a few minutes behind them. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get going. Lord, I love you so much. I thank you for this trip to Altoona. I thank you for the team that is here. I thank you and praise you for the opportunities to serve. I do. I thank you for, Lord, all the the different ways that you've called us to serve and all the different ways you've invited us to serve your kingdom and in your name. We do ask and pray that you would continue to inspire us and use us and fill us so we can continue to be a mighty, mighty force for the kingdom. We do ask and pray that as we connect the dots with being here in Altoona on a mission trip and the book of Acts, that Holy Spirit, you do the connecting. Once you do the connecting, then everything else pretty much is easy peasy. We want you to connect so that we can kind of learn and lean and learn and glean from what you have, you're teaching us. So may the word today inspire us and also challenge us. And we thank you, Lord, for the stories from the mission field. We trust you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the verse we looked at last week, the passage, Acts 3, 1 through 11, or you know, 1 through 11, I want to just zero in on one verse and then give you a couple of stories, two or three stories from the mission field that I think kind of connect this. At least that's what I was been praying about this week. So you know the story, Peter and John go into the temple. We shared this last week. We kind of went into great detail. And they find the lame man begging since the lame man since birth. He's been begging for money. And they connect eyes. They connect. Their eyes lock, and you know, Peter and John look at them. Peter says, "Look at us," you know. And the lame man looks at them, expecting eagerly the money they're going to get. He's going to get. And, you know, he's been begging for alms for the poor, right? And I just want you to see verse 6. And verse 6 then will be the umbrella under which we kind of put these other three stories that we'll share here from the mission field this week. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And I want to share from the NIV as well, because I want to just, it's a little bit different, just a little bit, and especially kind of in the Greek context. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have," and I love this in the Amplified version, "what I do have and what you need," there it is. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have and what you need, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So obviously the lame man was looking for money to stay crippled, but at least to be comfortably crippled. Listen to that, right? But what Peter and John did not have, the man really didn't need. But what Peter and John really had, the man did need, even though the man didn't realize what he needed. Right? Right? Okay. So there's the focus is the need. And so we go on mission trips, you know, because we try to take care of people's needs. And so a couple of stories that I think just kind of speak to, I think, the Farmers Temple team taking care of some needs this week. Some needs that we thought we might be taking care of and some needs that we don't think we had a clue that we'd be taking care of. The first one, I think, is on Monday. On Monday, as we were cleaning up, I think our first assignment Monday was cleaning up a park. So for you railroad enthusiasts, there's something called the Big Boy. And we're not talking about the big hamburger from Shoney's, or the restaurant chain. But the big boy apparently is this huge, and again, you can Google it. I won't spend the time to do that right now, but it's apparently a big locomotive train. It's a big marvel, it's an engineering marvel of a huge, huge train that apparently is going to come through or has come through. So it's made its entrance to Altoona this week. I think it happened yesterday. We actually may go see it today. Today's Thursday, so we actually may go see a big boy. Now, I don't know how many of our youth are going to be excited to see a really big locomotive going through downtown, but I don't know. But apparently, it's a big deal. Thousands of people are in Altoona waiting for this and watching for it. And again, railroad enthusiasts, and along with the Horseshoe Curve, which we already talked about, it makes for a great and glorious week for Altoona. Altoona is not a big city. Not by any stretch. It's okay. I mean, and there's got some depressed areas like a lot of places that has a downtown area that just is a little bit more impoverished, has some other areas, Walmarts and all that, you know, they have a Red Lobster I saw. So Olive Garden. So all this, it's not, you can tell it's just not, it's an older community. It's not, it's just not the glitziest and newest and fanciest of communities. So we're out there and we meet this guy. We see him. He comes over to this work site. We're working with team effort here at the dorms and where I'm at right now taping. And we, so I see this guy. He's got, you know, shorts on, tennis shoes, a shirt, and a hat, kind of a baseball hat and a baseball cap. And so he's got three or four gas-powered weed eaters in the back of his white pickup. He's got a big, like a big-time leaf blower where he's got the shoulder strap, you know, and you're just like, you know, you, it's almost like a fire blower. You know, you sweep back and forth, you know. So anyway, I meet him. I don't even know who he was. I shook his hand and said, hey, his name is Matt. My name is Tim. Hey. And so he goes with us to the site all the time. I'm thinking he is a worker for team effort. It's Monday morning, first day on the job. We go to some city parks. And so we start cleaning up some city parks. Why? Because there's lots of people coming to Altoona this week because of Big Boy. Okay. And so, and one of those was a railroad park. We'll get to that one here for the second story. But the first story is this. We're cleaning. He's working his tail off. And he's not just supervising. I mean, he is working his tail off. And he's got that fast-paced walk. And I notice he's on the phone off and on. And he's working off and on and on the phone. And not in a bad way. But looks like he's taking care of business, right? Taking care. So anyway, so we're going back and forth. And I finally realized, because I overheard, he's the mayor of Altoona, Mayor Matt of Altoona. He's Mayor Matt. And I came over to him. I said, so I just found out you're the mayor. He said, yeah. He said, I've been a mayor for like 12 years. He's on his last 2-year term. Lots of different reasons why that happened. But anyway, so I shook his hand again. I said, well, I just really appreciate the mayor of the city working with us, a random group from Indiana that you've never met, and you work with us, and you work hard. And now I realize his phone calls were to city office managers and all the different things the mayor has to do during the day, especially during a big, 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 big week. Now think about it. It's a huge week for Altoona. And this mayor is working with a bunch of youth from Fermer's Chapel cleaning up a park. I just thought it was pretty amazing. And so I'm talking to him. I said, I really do appreciate it. And that's, so I was kind of going on for a few minutes. I really appreciate your leadership and servant leadership and all that. He said, let me just tell you, Pastor Tim, I don't know if he's a man of faith. I don't know. But he said this, and I kind of basically quote this. He said, you all, and this is a direct quote, are just what I needed today. Listen to the word need. Peter and John, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have and what you need, I give you. So again, this the mayor said, yeah, this is you all are just what I needed today. He said, I needed a great group of volunteers with a great attitude. And you could tell that there was some stress on his face and all the phone calls he was getting, I think on a Monday morning, right before the huge week of in Altoona, maybe one of the biggest weeks they have during a year. Maybe, I don't even know if this happens once a year, if it happens, this is the first time and only time ever. I don't know. All I know is the mayor of Altoona needed us, and we gave him what he needed. Silver? Nope. Gold? Nope. Time, effort, and a good attitude to serve. That's what we gave Mayor Matt. So Mayor Matt's still with us, and this is Monday. The second story happens on the same day, the same morning. So we moved to the railroad museum park, and where most of the people are going to be. So old, again, if you're a railroad enthusiast, come to Altoona. It's probably not too late to come on over here this week. We'll see you. We'll meet you at Red Lobster. So we go, and we're cleaning up. And I'm down at the far end with one of our youth he's doing some weed eating. And all the other ladies are up in the very near the front of the park, pulling weeds and all that. And so one of the volunteers, Samantha Pennington, comes over to me and says, Pastor Tim, there's a couple of guys there. They're really cussing up a storm right in front of our youth. And just, can you do something about it? So I came over, karate chopped them, dropped a couple of flying leg leaps. I don't even know what I'm talking about. So flying leg leaps. What's that? Anyway, got them in sumo holds and had them submit. Anyway, they all tapped out. But no, I came over and here it is. Obviously homeless. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that. No judgment, just simply obviously homeless. I come over and they're leaning up against the rail. And he, Bob, engages me first. I walk over, and I'm not walking toward them necessarily. I'm just kind of walking past them, just to kind of, I'm trying to read the room. I'm trying to feel the situation. I'm trying to figure out what's going on and see if our girls need to move. Bad language is one thing. Bad actions, bad attitude, bad intentions are a whole another thing, right? So I'm walking past them. And as I start walking past them, I connect with Bob. Our eyes meet, and Bob says, "Well, good morning." I thought that was friendly enough. So I said, "Well, good morning." And I turned. All I did really was turn and took a step toward him. He put his hands up, like very, very aggressive, and said, "Back up." Now, I'm not going to say anything close to what he said, okay? Just think of some of the most offensive words you can think of, okay? "Back up, mm-mm." So I said, I stopped. I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "You're in my mm-mm bubble. You need to back the mm-mm up or there's going to be problems." I put my hands up, I mean, literally on a pivot, you know, like in marching band or in the military. I pivoted on my foot and went straight to the ladies who were, all the young ladies who were there pulling weeds. I looked at them, motioned for them to get up, and we went all the way down to the other end of the park. I've dealt with homeless for a long time as a pastor, 30 years almost as a pastor. I've dealt with homeless for a long, long time. The no judgment here. It's one thing for homeless to have the kind of the homeless vibe, and for the sake of a better word. But when a homeless person gets aggressive, what I've learned is you've got to leave. You got to leave the place. You got to get out of their bubble. And I was kind of kidding with the team later on. It's like, I wasn't in his bubble. I don't think I was in his bubble. But again, obviously making just a little bit of light of a kind of a tense situation at that moment. But at that moment, we just said, all I could think about is these kids got to get out of here, regardless of what happens with me and Bob. So eventually now, we're down there, and Bob and the other homeless man, who seemed to be pretty nice about things, but they sat on the bench together and just cussing up a storm and talking about things, because we could hear that as we passed by. And each time we passed by them, getting materials and trash bags and gloves and all that. Well, we had collected quite a bit of debris, and we're supposed to put that at the front of the park, which is, of course, where the bench was, which is where Bob and his friend were sitting. So I'm loading up, not just me, but there are several of us taking trips to take all the debris to the front of the park. As we're taking the debris to the front of the park and laying it up there, eventually Bob said something to me. I can't remember what it was now, but he started talking about the day or something. And we actually had a conversation, and I stood there for a second. I stood my distance, well outside his bubble. And he was actually fairly kind to me. I can't even remember the conversation now. And I appreciate you. I found out that he had been homeless. He's been on the streets for 21 years. Now, the city had offered him housing, and he was in subsidized housing. He apparently was in some kind of a homeless shelter or actually housing. Now, I do think he had to pay something toward it. I think he did have to keep a job. And according to what I was hearing, he chose to leave and go back on the streets. I shake my head at that because I just can't imagine that. But that's just not my MO. That's just not my DNA. And but I'm not in Bob's shoes, right? And so I'm just trying to figure out all this, and I'm listening to him. And Mayor Matt comes up and talks to him. And Bob's asking Mayor Matt what Mayor Matt can do for Bob. And Mayor Matt and I later talk about the fact that maybe Bob needs to do something for himself, right? Okay. All I know is this. As I finished all the debris stuff, I walked past and I said, "Well, Bob, I just know, I just want to let you know." And I said, I don't always say this, but sometimes I just feel like I need to. I said, "I'm a pastor, and I just want to tell you that I'll be praying for you." And his face actually lightened up. And he said, "Well, thanks, man. That's what I need. That's what I need." Did you hear the word? That's what he needed. I didn't give him a house. I didn't end his homelessness. I don't have the power to do that here in Altoona. But what I did give him, as best as I could, space in this bubble, but also a word about just praying for him. And apparently that's what he needed. Last part, we'll make this quick. This could be the longest part of the story, the coolest part. So we're working at a church later that, I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, we're working at a church, renovating a church. Long story short, there is a church plant that has gotten basically three churches here in Altoona for a dollar. Two free, one for a dollar. We were working in one of those churches, renovating and painting and cleaning the floors and all that. Well, Pastor Matt, completely different than Mayor Matt, but Pastor Matt is coming up. All he needed to do, he said, was to go to the restroom. He had to pee. He had to go to the restroom. He came up, and as he came up, now, this church, he was down probably 30 feet below, down, and we were on the balcony area cleaning a lot of rooms. So all of us, the entire team was up on the balcony area, except for maybe, I think, one young lady and her mom down on the lower part. So 10 people above and 10 or 11 people above and two people below on the same level as Matt. And Pastor Matt stopped and said, "Hey, guys, is there anything I can pray for you all about? We just want to thank you." So this is going to be his church. They're not ready yet, but we're helping him and we're helping that church get ready for a church plant. And he's going to be in charge of that church plant, apparently, there at that place. So it's basically his building that we're there to help with. Okay. So we're talking about this and we're working, and he just kind of calls us to the railing of the balcony for those up top. And then for those at the bottom, everyone just stopped working. We came over, you know, on a mission trip, the job is not about getting the job done. The job is making sure you pay attention to where God's moving. That's probably the key part of this podcast. On a mission trip, the job is not to get the job done. The job is to make sure we're paying attention to where God's moving. And we stop, and Pastor Matt says, can I just pray over you guys? Long story, really short. He looked into each person's eyes, including this person right here, this pastor, this man named Jim Johnson. And the charismatic phrase is, he read our mail. Now, if you're a charismatic circles, you understand what it means. If not, it means this. He knew how to pray for us very, very, very targeted and very specific. And we believe only by the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew things. He was able to speak things that every person, there wasn't a dry eye. One of the youth said, there wasn't a dry eye in that balcony. And he was right. The youth was right. There wasn't. And Matt was just nailing each one of us as far as just very encouraging, very loving, very kind. But I believe. Now, I was ready to shut it down any moment. I'm pretty protective of my people, especially protective of my youth. And so if somebody's going to pray over someone or prophesy over someone that's under my care, I'm going to be very careful, very skeptical, and I'm going to test every spirit according to 1 John, right? But man, pretty quickly, guys, I realized this guy is operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. Not everyone who says they do. Not everyone who thinks they are. But Matt was. Matt was genuine. He was sincere. And all he had to do was come to the pee up in the bathroom up there. And he just saw all of us and asked if we could pray. He could pray for us. And he spoke into each one of our lives. Each one of our lives. Boom, 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 boom. He looked. He asked our names. He called us by names. And he's 30 feet down below, except for two people down on his same level. But for the most part, he's looking up 30 feet above, almost 30 feet above. And he's calling us by name. And he's saying, here's what I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you about. And boom. And he breaks into tears so many times. And we break into tears. And I break into tears watching him pray into our kids, who then break into tears. He prays into me. And he prays into you, our youth leaders and our youth volunteer. I mean, it was one of the highlights. I have been so blessed, my friends. I have been so incredibly blessed in my life to preach on different continents. I have taught in all across the world at different times in my ministry. I have traveled. I have seen and witnessed incredible supernatural moments left and right and right and left, baptized thousands of people. I have been just so blessed in this ministry. I can't even begin to tell you how blessed I am in this ministry. This is a highlight. This is in the top something. I don't know what top. I haven't figured that out yet, but it's in the top something. A top moment of watching the Holy Spirit move. Let me tell you this. At the end, we're all weeping, we're all crying. Matt, I'm not sure if Matt's peed yet. I don't know. But Matt says something about it, and we say, thank you, man. Thank you, man. I looked at him, kind of gave him that pastor nod, like, you know, hey, man, you just blessed us like crazy. And he finally said this to the whole group. He said, you know, I asked the Lord today, would you just make sure I encounter you and make sure I can bless someone? And he said, in tears, he said, this is exactly what I needed today. We're not done. One of our youth, in tears, she wasn't sure about going on this mission trip. She had experienced a little bit of a lull in her walk. And she said, God, if I go, I need a radical experience. Her exact prayer, I need a radical experience. Bold prayer. Guess what this youth got on Tuesday? A radical experience. Guess what Matt got? Pastor Matt, he got what he needed. He needed to spend time blessing people. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have and what you need, I give away freely. Would you be on the lookout today? By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to give people what they need. Not what they want. Not even what they expect. But what they need. Be blessed.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek, reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.